I'm going to do it after. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to preach for approximately 30 minutes. We'll have a very, we're going to turn the cameras off, have a very brief business meeting. Then we're going to get rid of the defibrillators who are running to Blaine, and we'll sing a last song. All right? Who all is going to Blaine? All right. These are the defibrillators. Okay, very good. All right, so if you would, turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. We kind of ended on that. Now, for the 1 o'clock, I've had a little bit more clear sense of where I needed to go, whereas this morning I just went, said, all right, we'll just do some basics, whereas this has been more on my heart for about a week or so to get into this. By the way, on Facebook, what happened is this morning when I pulled up the Black Creek Baptist Church site, this notice came up from Facebook. There's now a page where you can just do your announcements because we're a church. And I didn't understand it. Apparently, I hit that page, which is some special page where you just do announcements like your own bulletin. So that was the page that was up there, all right? And so Facebook, trying to make it simple for idiots, it wasn't simple enough, all right? And so we were on some page belongs to us, but, you know, I don't even know why they have it, all right? But regardless of that, we're now apparently on the right page on Facebook. So if you're at home and you can see us, raise your hand. All right, that's good. I see that. Good, all right.
I think they actually said Sunday school wasn't
on either, so. No, both of them were on that same one. We never got off of that. So if you found that page, you could go look at Sunday school and you could look at the 11 o'clock. And it's somehow associated with our church, but I don't know how we got there, how we got out of it. I just got off of it together and went back to the normal spot. All right. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. And Neil, why don't you go ahead and pray for this service?
Lord, we just thank you that we're blessed to come and meet with you. And we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we pray for those that are going to Blaine. And also pray for the prayer request that we heard earlier this morning. This work in that situation. We just ask that you be faster as he preaches to us. And do this in the
Alright, so again it said in verse 20, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. This whole thing's been set up that there's nobody can say, look at what I did, alright? Now we all do that.
Right.
Okay? Believe me, it's inherent inside of us to want to do that. All right, but God set it up that he's got a way to kind of prove to you periodically that you're squat and he's everything. All right. All right. So it says then in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So of God, all those things that we have, Jesus was made that for us. That according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if you have righteousness, glory in the Lord over that. If you have wisdom, glory in the Lord over that. If you have redemption, glory in the Lord over that. If you're sanctified, glory in the Lord over that. Okay? Now with that in mind, turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Now, we have saints of God in here that you have walked with the Lord a long time in your life. I praise God for that. I do. Okay? And we have others in here. You're novices. It's new to you. Okay? And there are no shortcuts. There's nothing where we can just snap our fingers and make you a mature person in Christ. It's just not going to work. Okay? It's not going to happen that way. But there's some things you need to know. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 21. The Apostle Paul... I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Those of us who walked for years in Christ Jesus, we found that law a long time ago, all right? That when we would do good, by golly, there's some evil nature in us that still wants to just make a mess out of all of it, okay? It's just there. It just wants to do it, okay? Those of you new to Christ Jesus, it's so agonizing and disappointing when that part of you raises back up, okay? And should be agonizing and disappointing to me, all right? The problem is it's not enough. Again, I've quoted that old country western song before, some 40 years ago, some girl was singing. She said, I tried to walk the floors all night, but I keep falling asleep. You've done this to me too many times, all right? And I love that, you know, the whole concept. And it's just too many times that old nature's come back up and I just realize, you stinking idiot, there you are again, you old nature. You're trying to ruin me. It's just a law with me. It's just there and it's going to be with me to the day I die. Okay? To the day I die. You know, Saul was commanded, get rid of all the Amalekites. He wouldn't do it. One of the last things he ever heard in his ear before he died was an Amalekite. All right? Whispering to him, talking to him. So it's a law. It's there. Every one of you, that old law, it's still there, okay? And, you know, some of you come to talk to me about it. And, you know, what do I do with this? Well, the Apostle Paul has ways to handle that. Let's see what he did. Verse 22. First of all, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That inward part of me. And there, when you get saved, God plants that inward part of you that does love the things of God. And the problem is how to keep hold of that. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, take hold upon eternal life. It's there, Timothy. Take hold upon it. And you know what? I have had times I couldn't find a handhold. I couldn't figure out, how do I take hold on eternal life? I'm just so full of myself and misery and nonsense. And I made every mistake there is and messed everything up. And oh my goodness, I can't take back what I said in the last 48 hours. And it's just a mess, all right? And you're trying to, how do I take hold on eternal life? How do I do that, okay? Well, let's go a little bit farther, okay? Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And some of you have learned, it's agony. And you know what? Thank God it's agony to you. Thank God that's agony to you. Thank God that it's misery to you when it happens. Thank God that you don't just sit there and say, well, here's this, we'll ride this. Thank God for that, okay? Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How do I get out of this? Well, number one, you're not going to get out of it till you die. Okay? Now you can get out of it temporarily by dying to yourself. All right? And, you know, and it's glorious when you do, but, you know, somehow I'll die to myself for, oh my goodness, almost 35 straight minutes sometimes. And, you know, and then that old John Asquith right there whispering in my ear, got to do things his way or whatever else, and it's a mess, okay? It's just a mess. So who will deliver me? And here's what he says, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. How do you do it with your mind? Do it with your mind. Do it with your mind. Do it with your mind. Think on the things of God. You say, but I've got all these, I got this old rock song going through my head. This old spouse or this old person that I was with at one time, they keep coming back up and these weird, strange lusts keep coming back up. What do? Think on the things of God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making sweet melody in your heart unto the Lord. You know, fill your house, fill your life with that stuff, okay? Fill your life. Put as much of that in there. Memorize a psalm, something of that sort. Get that stuff going. Give your mind the ammunition it needs to do that, okay? And then he says, with the flesh, the law of sin. What's that mean? That he's out in brothels? No, okay? It just means that I know full well while I'm sitting there in the house of God, and I'm supposed to be paying attention to something Pastor Haynes saying, and Tim McVeigh saying, or Ronnie's preaching, or Dale's preaching, or something. I'll find myself sitting there thinking to myself, wonder what's for lunch? You know? What is that? My flesh is trying, you know, the law said it's in my members. It's there. And so, you know, all right, you stupid stomach, sit there and growl all you want. I'm going to use my mind and listen to what they're preaching. All right? It's a discipline. Learning to do that. The Apostle Paul says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckoning is where you figure something out, okay? Right. That's how you think. It's how you reckon. So you have all this stuff going on inside of you, but your job is to say, all right, you know what? I'm dead to sin. Wow, worked for 3 whole seconds. All right, I'm dead to sin. Okay, yep, all those lusts just came into my heart, and I was stupid enough, I just played with them in my head for the last 25 seconds. But you know what? I'm dead to sin. Right. And you know what? Sometimes it's a battle. It's a battle.
That's right.
It is, and it goes on inside of you. But you have a job to fight that battle, okay? And to make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3 with me. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 8. Says this, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, you know what? We have a verse that says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So a lot of people preach that as loss of salvation. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Peter willfully deny Jesus Christ three times?
Yes,
he did. Is he in hell? Then that can't be what that verse is talking about, is it? You better get in the context of those kind of verses and look at them, okay? You better get into that and understand what it's saying and not just trying to make it some broad brush that you want to paint somewhere, all right? A proper three-legged stool needs three legs. A two-legged stool doesn't work well, all right? So every time you come up with that, you have a verse, you have an application to it, you put them together, and you and I'll have a two-legged stool. You have to have the third leg. Does it work that way in the Bible? Look at other verses. It's not working that way in the Bible, is it? If we sin willfully, all right, you sin willfully, you're lost, you're going to hell. But then you look, Peter did, and he's going to heaven, all right? So if you make a two-legged stool, that verse is talking about loss of salvation, it's only a two-legged stool because the third leg won't support it. That is not how Peter ended up. Peter ended up in heaven, okay? So you have to take verses and use them in their context. And look, let me tell you something. After 40 years of salvation reading the Bible, do you think I have a verse niched and in context exactly where it needs to go? No, I don't. Okay? I have more than a lot of people because I have paid a price to do it over the years. All right? And I had a preacher that would just kick the living snot out of you and didn't keep working to do it. All right? But there's an advantage to doing it because, and really, the old thing, give a man a fish, okay? And he'll stink for a day. Teach him to fish, he'll stink for life, all right? But it's the whole idea, teach a guy a couple of verses and a couple of doctrines, all you've done is fed him for a day. But if you teach him how to read and study the Word of God, you've fed him for life, okay? You've taught him how to get in there and live off the Word of God, and he can live off of every word spoken by God. And get in there. So I labor, to make you trust a King James Bible and realize every single word is true. And ASB, is every word in truth? No, there are words in it that are false. Some of them are in hell. Take an NIV. I can point to places that if it's true, Jesus is in hell today. I can point to them. If that is true, Jesus is in hell today. Okay? If that's true, he's in hell today. I can point to you those verses. And it says it right there. Okay? And obviously, I don't want a Bible like that. I want one that every single time it says something is right, okay? You know, when you go to a surgeon, you want him to have the easiest book on surgery or the most accurate? You probably want him to have the most accurate book on surgery, okay? And if you're fixing your car, do you want the easiest book or the most accurate book? Okay? All right? Well, you know, after a while, if you're not lazy, now that caught some of you out, but if you're not lazy, you'll find it's not hard to get used to the these and thous. Okay? It's not hard. I could take you down south where mushmouth blacks and mushmouth whites get it. Okay? You know, the old southern guy comes in. I learned this off of a CD that Brother John Santasusa gave me. But old southern guy comes in, his pastor, do you have any ID? ID about what? You know? You know? And yet that guy, you know, and you listen to some of those guys that talk from down south or whatever else, and yet you take that King James Bible. I've been in Philippine barrios where English is like the fourth, fifth language they've read, and they get the King James Bible exactly. Why? Because they're not lazy. Okay? And it's exactly, perfectly accurate. Exactly. It's exactly accurate. So the thing is, it's one of the things I have to teach you. Why? So that when you read the Bible, you don't have to come running to Pastor Asquith, is this right? No, it's right. Okay? Now, there's some verses I read to this day. I have trouble understanding exactly why God wrote it like he did. I still have, I bow my head when I read them and say, Lord, I don't understand why it says that. Okay? And every once in a while, God will open my understanding. I go, oh my goodness, what an idiot I've been all these years. That's why it says it. We had a preacher up here one time talking about he was street preaching, and some Muslim girl came up to him and said, do you understand everything in that Bible? And he said, no. She said, then it can't be of God. He said, well, let me ask, does your imam understand everything in the Quran? Yes, he does. That's pretty good proof that it wasn't from God. All right. So, you've got a lifetime to search this Bible out for God to teach you. But he's going to teach you, okay, so that you can live that life yourself, okay? What would happen if this church was scattered? How do we know that in 2 years from now, all these young men won't be out to war? How do we know that? How do we know that? How do we know that in 2 years from now that Philadelphia won't be an atomic crater and New York City won't be an atomic? How do we know that, okay? What will things be like? And if I can teach you to go into the Word of God and study it for yourself and know it yourself, I'll know that wherever you go, you're going to find the things of God. And that's what needs to be, okay? So again, verse 8, 1 John 3, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God destroyed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now let me tell you something. There's a part of you God's determined to destroy. There's a part of you that God is determined to destroy, okay? You know, when you squeeze a pimple, is it pretty what comes out? No, it's not pretty, okay? And you know what? God's squeezing some pimples at some of you. Some ugly, awful pus and nonsense and gore and yuckiness coming out of you, and God is determined to get it out of you, all right? And it's ugly. He's determined to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
All right? Then it goes on and it says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. What? What are you talking about? There's never been a day in my life when I haven't sinned. But it said that, didn't it? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That new man the Apostle Paul talked about, that inward man that he delighted in, that's the one that can't sin. That's the one that can't sin. Try to get that thing to lose its salvation. Okay? Try to get it to sin so it loses it. It can't sin. It cannot sin. That's why it is eternal security. It cannot sin. Okay? Your old nature can't stop sinning. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Ye shall die. Okay? This idea that, oh, so-and-so got saved, and he's just a drug addict on the street, but I know he's really saved.
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
God'll kill him if he's got salvation in him. He's not going to live that way. He's not going to get away with that. God promised that. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, ye are bastards and not children. That's God's statement, okay? We have this idea, and it's one of those places where the fundamentalists have taken this once saved, always saved, and they've shipwrecked it. They've made havoc with it. They've made folly out of the blood of Jesus Christ with that.
Yes, sir.
And yet at the same time, your Bible says when a person's born again, that new nature cannot sin. Okay? What you have to learn is, how do I walk in that nature? How do I quit walking after the flesh? How do I keep that the nature that's running my life? How do I do that? And let me tell you something. It's not an easy thing to learn. Okay? Neil, do you know how to ride a truck first time you got in one? No. Okay? He'd probably tell you he's still learning things after all these years. Still learning things he wished he'd known 20 years ago. Okay? You have to learn to make that new nature work inside you. It wants to work. It wants to run things. It wants to take over. And yet we find to want to glory in the flesh, do it the old way, do it the way we've always done it, and it sickens God, and he turns you over to yourself, and it's a miserable thing. And I have people walk up to me, oh, Pastor, it's just, I've been dazed and it's just been awful or whatever. Ronnie cried to me like that, and I told him, good. You lived for 50 years as a man of hell. Your flesh and everything only knows the wicked ways to do it. Thank God you've got Jesus Christ. Thank God, okay? But the habits of 50 years are there, okay? And God's got to purge those things. God's got to get rid of those things. God's got to make you dead to those things, okay? And it's not going to just come because you snap your fingers and, oh, well, I love Jesus, okay? And I hope you do love Jesus Christ. But there's nothing good that I do because one morning I woke up and said, I just love Jesus, so from now on, I'm never going to do this. That's never happened in my life. Every good thing I've done is because God has beat the snot out of me. All right? Absolutely made me wretched until I hated the way that I did it. All right? Hated it. And finally the day came where I couldn't wait to do it God's way, where 6 months earlier I could never imagine doing it God's way. Okay? And I've never found any shortcuts to that. You have to learn to walk with this great God.
Amen.
Now turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just remember Pastor Hain hadn't been here too long. And I was just going through a long, dry stretch and in agony. And one Wednesday, I just begged the Lord, would you please have the man of God do something for me tonight? Please have the man of God do something for me. And he preached on how that Daniel purposed in his heart. And he talked about how important that was. And I remember just saying, oh, thank you, Lord. And I don't know how many times I've listened to that message. Or I'd listen to it again and just thank God, praise God. You know how many preachers there are that don't have somebody else that can get in the pulpit and help them? I'm sorrow for those preachers, okay? What a wonderful thing that I've got somebody that can come here, an older man of God that can preach those kind of things and help me with that. It's a help to me, okay? It's a help. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, I want you to look at verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, and that's what you're trying to stop. You all want the outward man to make it. You want all the dreams and aspirations of your life to make it. And you want to know something? God may make that dreams and aspirations of your life to work when they're surrendered to Him.
Amen.
All right, when they're surrendered to Him. You know, Timothy now is an engineer working on the testing of bearings in rocket ships. Okay? Whoa, what a wonderful thing. All right? And it is. I don't mean to make light of that. That didn't come easy. Okay? There was a lot of study, a lot of everything in that, the grace of God in that. And it might well be that God wants him to remain as that, and that years from now, the people in that place will look, and he has built up this whole testing section there, and it works, and people look up to him and know him as a Christian man who goes to the house of God and does it. God may take that entire career of his and bless it perfectly if it's surrendered to Jesus Christ. Okay? Or it may be that God will take it away. Okay? Alan Moravec was an engineer, and God called him to the ministry. Okay? God called him to the ministry. And who knows? But it's got to be surrendered to God. And when it's surrendered to God, you'll love it far more than when you do it yourself. Okay? Far more. Now he says again, all things are down, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That inward man, the Apostle Paul said he gloried in, is renewed day by day. How is it renewed? By the Word of God. Okay? By the Word of God. It's the Word of God that renews it. Okay? Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Does it seem like a moment, Dale? Amy, does it seem like a moment? Ronnie, does it seem like a moment? Chelsea, does it seem like a moment? No, it doesn't. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, okay? Ask the cooks back there. Does it seem like a moment sometimes, that light affliction? No, it seems like it goes forever. Ask the Pasquarellas. Does it seem like a moment? No, sometimes it seems like forever, that affliction. And is it light? The Apostle Paul called his affliction light. For our light affliction, okay, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, you've heard it said in the physical fitness thing, no pain, no gain. Okay? No pain, no gain. You have to pay a price in anything. And there's just something about training someone, and it's hard. And you know what? Every kid you start to train cries and is miserable. All of a sudden, Mommy, I'm going to school today. And then they go to school today. All right? And then suddenly it's not fun anymore. All right? You know, very few kids really like it. All right? The rest of them, you know, you have to turn them as disciplines, learn these things. Hard to do. Oh, Daddy's taking me to work to teach me his job. And then 3 days later, Daddy's taking me to work again. All right? All right? And suddenly it's not fun using the shovel. Suddenly it's not fun using the brush or the broom or whatever else it is. But God is going to train you, and he calls it an exceeding eternal weight of glory that he gives you out of that, okay? And then he says this, verse 18, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So God's trying to work on the eternal part of your life, those eternal things that are good. And you know what? It hurts when you've been walking your own way for years. It hurts, okay? It hurts. But it's so wonderful when you learn to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to finish with one last verse, Colossians chapter 3. Well, a series of places. Colossians 3, about five verses in a row there. Colossians 3, we'll go to verse 5. This is an order. This is something you're told to do. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. You didn't get rid of any of that stuff. It's still inside of you. Some of you are finding that out in your weird dreams or your daydreams or awful temptations you have. They're all still right there. You're told to mortify it. What is that? That's that reckoning in your mind. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. That's right. You're there, but I'm dead to that. Okay? Goes on and it says this, verse 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which time ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye put off the old man with his deeds. Here's what he told you to do in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How do you renew that new man? It's renewed in knowledge. After what? After the knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay? Where's that knowledge going to come from, okay? It's going to come from the Word of God. It's so important that you personally have a fellowship with the Word of God on your own and that you have that. What's the best reading schedule there is? The one that works for you.
Right.
Okay? If you have a reading schedule that's not working for you, I don't mean for 2 days in a row or for 4 days, but if it's not working for you, drop your pride and get rid of it. Get one that works for you, okay? And then be times. Sometimes you can do more, sometimes less. Do some study, okay? Look up other places the Bible might talk about something interesting. Look up a word everywhere it is, okay? Look those things up, okay? And it will renew you. All right, with that, Father, thank you very much now for this chance to have this. Bless these fellows as they go off to Blaine. Bless the preaching there tonight. Bless our business meeting. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.